Title of my message today is Down and Then Up. It's not down and out, it's down and then up. I'm going to teach you something today that maybe you never thought of before, but it is a spiritual principle that is extremely important for your growth, for your life. If you ever want to go up, you got to first go down. And I think the people who get this and who understand this have a better time during the downtimes. They know how to respond to challenges and difficulties because they understand this principle. I'm going to start in Romans 8, 28 through 30. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And it says, "And we know that God causes all things," say all things, not some things, all things, "to work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose." Now, I like the NIV thing says, "In all things, God is at work for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose." And I think that's the way to look at it, is that in the midst of all the challenges, all the difficulties of life, God is at work. He's at work for your good. Amen. Even when everything seems to be going wrong, God is not absent. He's there. And he's not sitting on his hands. He's at work. And what he's working for is your good. Come on. He's working for your good. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, let me just go through that real quick, because that can kind of go over your head. Those who are predestined to become conformed to the image of his son are those he foreknew. In other words, God knew a long time ago that you would receive Christ in your life and you would become one of the people who are his children and be shaped into the image of Jesus. Just because he foreknew it doesn't mean he made you do it. It was still your choice. It's just that God knows what's coming ahead. Now, there's some people who can't grasp that. They think if God knew ahead of time that something was going to happen, then you'd have no choice about it. And I always say it like this. I know that if we go out to eat for Mexican food, that Kathy will order her food with no beans, because I just know her very well. That doesn't mean I made the choice for her because I knew ahead of time, right? Just because God knew ahead of time what choice you'd make doesn't indicate he made you make it. He foreknew that you would become a child of God and be conformed to the image of his son, and that these things would happen to you. You would be predestined, called, justified, and also glorified. Now I want you to grab onto that last one. Glorified means lifted up to an exalted place, right? And we know that God has a plan for all of us where we're going to be perfected in our minds and our bodies, raised from the dead, incorruptible. We're going to be at some point perfected totally in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible calls glorified. And I want you to understand here today that that's God's ultimate goal, is for him to exalt you, to lift you up. Are you catching that? And not for you to lift your own self up. This is very important, because you can't glorify yourself. You can't exalt yourself. You need God to exalt you. In fact, the only way we really get lifted up to another level in life is when God does it for us. Amen. Have you ever had times where you just tried really hard to lift your career, lift your relationship, lift your way of thinking, lift your physical health, whatever it may be, and it seems like you just can't get anywhere, and it gets discouraging. And then all of a sudden, God just decides one day to lift you up, and it seems easier, and it's just natural, because God is the one who did it. He's the one who lifted up your career, got you a new job, changed your way of thinking, changed your physical body. When God does it, it's what we need, and it's permanent. Hallelujah. So have you ever been down and out? You know, it could be because you got a bad doctor's report. It could be because finances are bad. It could be because you've had You've had friendship and relationship problems. It could be because you just are feeling depressed. It could be, a lot of times, it's every one of those things, like the dominoes just hit you over and they just one after another. And when you think to yourself that life can't give me anything worse than I've got, and then something else happens. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We've all been down and out before. It's a place that all of us end up in, but I want to tell you today that it's a good place in one way for us to be, because there are some things in the down position that are important for us to understand, and that if we understand them and we walk through them correctly, we don't necessarily have to be down and out. You see, when you're down, you're in the lowest position, aren't you, in life? You've been pushed down. It could be because you made a bad choice. Come on, anybody in the house today? It could be because life just knocked you down out of the blue. Something happened and it puts you in a bad position. When you're down, you're at the lowest point in your life. And not only are you in a bad position, but you've got a bad perspective. When you get down there in the lowest position, you start to view everything around you, and you start to think that your surroundings being bad are sort of an indication of who you are and what your life is supposed to be like. You end up seeing failure, seeing the worst around you, focusing on your challenges. The things that once seemed like little tiny molehills to overcome have become giant mountains that you're facing, and you start to get this feeling of weakness, this feeling of powerlessness, because you've done everything you can do and you don't have the ability to fix it on your own, and you're feeling weak and powerless. And the worst part is when you finally feel like there's no future for you. This is just the way it's always going to be. Can I tell you, there are some people today who always think they're going to be sick. There are some people today who have been down so long that they just feel like they're always going to be broke. They're always going to have relationship problems. They're never going to make a relationship work. They're always going to have a ministry that's not effective. They're always going to have some career problem. They've been down so long, they've kind of just made it their home. But I want to encourage you today, don't make down your home. It was never intended to be the place where you live. Don't park your car there. Don't put out the welcome mat. That's not where you belong. You see, just because life puts you down doesn't mean you have to be out. Come on, somebody. Out means that you've allowed all the things that put you down to cause you to give up. But God's children aren't made of give up, are we? We are made of get up. We're made of moving forward. Resurrection is in our DNA. It isn't just at the end of time when God resurrects us, but we are the people who, though we continually get knocked down, we rise back up again. Come on, somebody. Are you in the house today? I don't know who you are, but somebody out there needs to hear this today. God's plan for you is not for you to be down and out. It's for you to go down and then get up to another level. Down and out is not a fun place to be, but it can be a good place. There's a spiritual principle at work in the world, and it affects everything and everyone. And it sounds like this: what is exalted must first be humbled. A seed must be buried before a plant can grow. Pain precedes birth. Resistance causes strength. Death precedes resurrection. Promotion comes after you've been tested. A problem precedes a testimony. You can't go up unless you've first gone down. Are you hearing me today? It changes the way we look at being down. We refuse to be out because we know down is just a position preparing us to be exalted. Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. John 12:23-25, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies down, it remains alone. But if it goes down and it dies, it will bear much fruit when it comes back up. Come on, are you getting this today? He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. Let this attitude be in you. Philippians chapter 2. I love this. This attitude needs to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, what did he do? He came off of the throne and he lowered himself. Are you hearing me today? He lowered himself to our level. And he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted them. Did you catch that? Jesus led by example, coming off the throne, coming down in the form of you and I. That's lowering himself lower than the angels right there, coming in the form of mankind. But then not only that, but he allowed himself to be crucified and placed in a tomb, buried in essence like a seed would be buried. And what does it say? Because of that, God highly exalted them. Look what comes after you've been down. The exaltation, being glorified, being lifted up, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. So that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. Listen, if you're in the down position today, I've got good news for you. If you've gotten a bad report from the doctor, if you've lost your job, if you're having relationship problems, if you're broke or depressed or weak or empty, if you've lost one battle after the other and you can't see any way forward, I came to tell you, you are right where you need to be. Can you say praise God today? Because you're closer, listen to this, you're closer to God when you're down and out than when you feel large and in charge. How many of you ever felt large and in charge? Like everything's going good and it must be because you're so awesome, right? I'm so awesome, that's why I got money in my pocket and I got the bills paid and got this pretty girl next to me and I'm large and in charge and look at those other people, man, they're just not as good as me, not as smart as me, and I'm feeling good. You know, when you start to get that attitude, and sometimes we get that attitude, it sneaks into us, and the reason we're doing well is really because God's blessed us. Amen. And we're not giving God the credit for it. We start taking the credit ourselves and start exalting ourselves. But what does the Bible say about those who exalt themselves? That God is going to humble you. If you've got a little bit of the big head, the little bit of the large and in charge mentality going on, you know what the prescription for that is? It's always failure. It's always troubles and trials. It's always you falling flat on your face so you realize that it wasn't really you, it was God. Oh, but if you're down and out, you're in a position that is good because God can move you to the next level. And I want to explain to you why. Why does it matter? Why is it so important that we be down before we're lifted up? Why did God make that a spiritual principle? I want you to think about a bow and arrow for a moment. We used to have them when I was a kid. We had bow and arrows, and we'd watch cowboy and Indian shows, you know, and me and my brother, we'd go out there and we'd shoot our bow and arrow, a little toy bow and arrow. And the thing about a bow and arrow is you don't just pull the trigger. You've got to pull it back before it goes forward, don't you? It ain't going to go forward unless it's pulled back. And what I'm talking about, you need to get that image in your head that every time you're going through a trial, a difficulty, you've been put down and you're in a powerless position and you're wanting to give up and you see all of the trouble around you and you're just really in that down position, always think of yourself as God has just pulled back, right? He's pulled the arrow back. That's all that's happening right now. It isn't that this is the end. He pulls the arrow back and he's getting ready. And when the time is right, come on, what's going to happen? He's going to let go and accelerate you forward. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get that image in your mind. Every time you're down, tell yourself, God's just pulled back the arrow, and I don't know where I'm headed, but he's about to push me to another place, because unless I first go down, I can't then go up. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You see, the advantages of being down is that you end up in the right position. You stop looking to yourself. You empty yourself of you, and you're humbled. You notice what it said about Jesus, that he emptied himself, he lowered himself. What does that mean? It means he submitted to the Father's will and the Father's plan. Sometimes as long as you're holding on to you, As long as you've got a little bit of you left inside and you feel like, well, I'm going to try one more thing. Let me give it one more day of my power, of my wisdom. Let me just attack this thing one more time. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to attack it in my own strength and my own power one more time. As long as there's some of you trying to save yourself, then God is going to sit back and wait till you've reached the bottom of the bottom and you finally say, God, I've got nothing left. I got nothing left but you, Lord. Can I tell you a secret? God loves it when you got no plan B. When God is plan A and that's it. And you have a situation where if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. Look, God loves it when you get in that position because you've emptied yourself of you so that he can be big in your life. Amen? You see, when you're down, you finally stop depending on you and you start depending on God. You see, you're in the right position when you're down. But not only that, you got the right perspective because now you're looking up to God. Come on. Can we be honest? Sometimes we look over to God like we're on the same level with God. And we feel like we kind of know what's best and we know what we should do. And we get critical of the way things are turning out. Have you ever kind of judged God for what he did? Huh? God, why would you do that? Why would you let this happen? You know what that is? We don't realize it, but that's us exalting ourselves to God's position and looking across as if we can judge him for what he does. You know the explanation for why God does what he does? People aren't going to like it, but let me tell you why. Why do children suffer from cancer? These are the questions. In the Old Testament, why were women killed? And why was all this? Why, God? You know why? The answer to that, because God is God and you're not. I know people don't want to hear that because they've exalted themselves to a level where they feel like they can ask God questions and he owes them a moral answer. But the truth is, God isn't supposed to be there. He's supposed to be there. Amen. And when we get God in the right position, we stop questioning him and we start turning to him and we start exalting him and accepting what he says just because he's daddy. Amen. Because daddy said so. That's all we need to know right there. There are things beyond us and we need to trust our father. When we get the right position, we end up with the right perspective. We're on our knees, and God is on high. We have lowered ourselves, and we're looking to him. We're in the right position for something miraculous to happen. Not only that, we turn to the right power. We stop relying on our own strength and our own power. James chapter 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, this is a hard one. When you're going through trials and you've been knocked down, you're supposed to consider it all joy. How in the world do you do that? Well, I tell you how, because when you're down and you're going through trials, you know that God's just pulled the arrow back. That's what you know. That's why you can consider it joy, because you know this isn't the end. Come on. I got a word for you today. This is not the end. The doctors may have said it's the end. The banker may have said it's the end. People around you may have said it's the end. They may be treating you like it's the end, but it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. Come on. Have faith in God. You see, when we turn to the Lord and stop relying on our own self, then our weaknesses turn into God's strength. You know why God's strength is not at work in your life? Because you still got your own strength at work in your life. When we become weak, God becomes strong. When we say, I don't have the power within me to do it, God's got to do it. When we stop trusting in our own selves, then God's power becomes real and big in our lives. What makes the Christian endure? Think about the Christians who've gone through difficulties and challenges, who've been beaten, who've been told, if you don't reject Christ, we're going to kill you, and in fact were killed. What would make someone give their very life, be strong enough? Do you think it was because they were just people who had fortitude and strength and character? I'm here to tell you no. It's because they were so weak that God's strength showed up in their life. Amen? That it was the Holy Spirit within them that made them do what they needed to do, made them say what they needed to say. I'm here to tell you today that it isn't your strength that's going to get you through. It's your weakness that's going to allow God to lift you up and carry you. Come on. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried to pick up a child that's squirming? Just doesn't want to be picked up and carried. They make it tough on you, don't they? But if you've ever picked up a child, little Kendall, he's our youngest grandson, and he is something else. And he just, when you pick him up, he hugs you immediately, and he pats you on the back. And he just wraps himself around you. Like, he cooperates with your love and just lets himself be held by you. And when he wants to be picked up, he lifts his arms up, and he's not resisting you at all. Now, I've had kids and my own kids that I've tried to pick up, and they didn't want to get picked up. And it might have been because they were misbehaving right here in church sometime, and I had to pick them up and take them outside, and they knew what was coming, and they didn't like it. And they're not easy to pick up, and you got to really grab a hold. Can I tell you something? You don't have to make it hard on God to pick you up. You don't have to resist him. You can just open your arms and let God lift you up and just wrap your arms and legs around him and just pat God on the back and just say, I'm so glad you're carrying me, God. I'm so glad that you've got me, God, because I don't have an ounce of me left in order for me to trust in myself. You see, the power comes from God. And when your faith is tested, your faith is increased. You know, when you ask God to give you greater faith to see greater things happen, you know what he's going to give you? He's going to give you problems to exercise your faith. He's going to give you challenges to exercise your faith. Come on. David said it like this when he was about to face Goliath. David said, you know, I've already fought a bear, and the Lord delivered the bear into my hands. And I fought a lion, and the Lord delivered the lion into my hands. And if God can give me a lion and a bear, then God can give me Goliath. You see that? David had to go through some stuff. Now, I know we think of David facing the lion like he came out there just bold like Superman. You know, he's like, lion, doth thou come against God's child? You know, we feel like he was just full of... I got to tell you, I think David was probably scared to death of a lion and a bear. I got to tell you, I feel like David probably was trembling, but something inside of him was pushing him. When everything that logic tells you would say, run away from a bear, it's not worth saving a lamb over. Run away from the lion, run away from the bear, live to fight again another day. But something kept pushing him going forward, and he fought and he killed the lion and he killed the bear. Now, why was this important? Because if he hadn't have gone through the lion and the bear, he might never have been able to face Goliath. Some of you today, you don't know it, but God's got a victory for you, or you're going to defeat Goliath in the future. And the stuff you're going through now is your lion and your bear. You're just going through these things so God can stretch your faith, so that when you get to the end of it, you look around and you realize that even if everybody left me and the devil's mocking me and people have called me out, I am still standing and God is right here with me. Come on, let me tell you, nothing will lift your faith like knowing you've been through something with God, and he was faithful to his word. He was faithful to what he promised you, and he lifted you up. You'll look back and know, you know what, if God can do that for me, oh, look what, I don't have problems facing this other thing because God did this in my past. Come on, we got to remember what God's done so that we can be ready for what is coming our way. Because you see, the story of Goliath is not just that David had to face a giant. The story of Goliath is that David defeated the giant. Come on. And because he defeated the giant, what happened to David? He got famous. And because he got famous, he ended up exalted to the kingship where God wanted him to be. Come on. What does the Bible say of Jesus? He is the root of David. Come on, he came from David. This was all planned by God. God had planned, and when Goliath came against him, and all David had was just five smooth stones, this teenage boy coming against this mighty warrior, he knew God was just pulling the bow back. Are you hearing me? He knew that something was coming in his future, and God exalted him to his rightful place, that in the midst of all things, God was at work for the good of those who love him. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're in the right position when you're down. You get the right perspective. You start trusting in the right power, and you start realizing there's potential. God is up to something. God doesn't let us go through things just so we can go through things. God is up to something. He will take advantage of every challenge you go through to build you, to make you trust Him more, to increase your faith, to draw you closer to Him, to help you realize that no matter what challenge comes your way, with God you can overcome anything. There are difficulties and challenges in this world that God wants to use you to attack and overcome, but He needs you to be prepared. He needs you to grow. So when the bow is pulled back and the arrow is pulled back and it's in that tight position and it just feels tense and awkward and awful and you feel the tension of it, just know when the time is right, God is going to release you and move you forward to a place you've never been before. You see, the reason the down position is so important is because it gets us off the throne. This is what it all comes back down to. I've said this before, and I'm going to keep pounding it in your head until you get it. And you start to recognize it in every area of our life. All sin comes from pride, trying to exalt ourselves to God's position. This is what Lucifer did. He wanted to be God, and he exalted himself and tried to be God himself and tried to decide what was true and what was right and what was wrong. He exalted himself. And what happens when we exalt ourselves? We're following in the path of Lucifer. We're trying to sit on God's throne. That's why God hates pride so much, self-pride. And that's why the Bible says, if you exalt yourself like Lucifer, I'm going to humble you like I did Lucifer. I'm going to kick you off the throne. I'm going to get you off of that place. And you know why God does that? It's not because he's narcissistic and he just don't want to share his throne with anybody. It's because God knows how creation is. That if you get yourself on the throne and you put within your own self the power to dictate how life turns out for you, what's going to happen? You're going to screw yourself up, aren't you? You're going to make the wrong choice. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. Have you ever seen that movie where Jim Carrey got to be God for a little while? And it's pretty funny. And Morgan Freeman was God, you know, and Jim Carrey was complaining about what God was doing. He didn't like it, and so he prayed, and God allowed him to be God for a little while he took a vacation. And so Jim Carrey got the power of God. He could decide whatever he wanted, and so he went around making choices like we would make. He let people win the lottery, and what happened is millions won the lottery, so everybody just got like a dollar or something like that. It didn't even do anything. He made choices that set in motion, that looked good up front, but set in motion problems for the future. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Can I promise you, you and I are no different than Jim Carrey. We're no different from that character, because if we are in a position where we have the power to make choices over our own life, trust in our own vision, trust in our own strength, trust in our own selves. When we're large and in charge and we've got our own throne and we start deciding how life should be, what happens is that we mess everything up. You see, the reason God doesn't want you trying to exalt yourself is because he knows if you do, you're going to mess yourself up. But if you humble yourself and you let God be the only God of your life, come on. If you let God be the only God in your life, he's going to do things that no one else can do. Listen, when God promotes you, no one can stop it. Hallelujah. I know you've got critics. You've got people who are wishing the worst for you. You've got people who prophesied the worst over your life. But when God promotes you, no one's going to stop it. When God decides to heal you, no doctor, no devil, no medicine, no nothing can stand in the way. When God decides to give you a better job, all the people competing against you can't stand because God has promoted you. When God restores relationships, when God decides to promote your ministry, when he lifts you up to another level, when he launches you into something new, there's no one that can stop it. But you must understand that the only way you're going to get to that new place is if you let God pull back the bow in your life. So I'm challenging you today. This is a simple principle that you can leave home with, or leave here today with, and go home and not forget that when you are down, When life has knocked you down, when you face difficulties and challenges, it's not because God is mad at you. It's not that God has forgotten you. It's not even that God is off on the side just watching everything happen. God is at work in all things. And when you're down, he's at work in your life, pulling back the bow, pulling back the arrow, getting ready to launch you to something better. Come on, hallelujah, because resurrection is in your DNA. You may feel like you're in the tomb right now, but Jesus didn't stay there, and neither do you have to. Come on. God has a plan to lift you up to something better. So I'm going to leave you with these four things. When you're down, do this. Remind yourself. God's just pulling the bow back. He's pulling the arrow back. I'm getting ready for something better. This has to happen for the arrow to launch. I had to go through this in order for God to position me correctly for something better. Remind yourself of that. Number one, empty yourself of everything, including you. People's opinions. You know, when you've gotten down so low that you don't even care what people think about you anymore, and you've emptied yourself of you, you don't have any ounce of I'm going to save myself left in you, you can help that happen. You can decide today to just let go of your own self, your own strength, and empty yourself of everything. Number two, totally turn to God. Don't say, God, you're my plan B, or don't say, God, if you don't take care of it, I got this I can do. Just totally turn to God. Trust him. Make him your only hope. Exalt him alone on the throne of your life and on your situation. Number three, let yourself be stretched, but don't break. Come on. You can be down, but out is a choice you make. Come on. Sometimes down was not your choice. You didn't do it to get you there sometimes, but out is always your choice. If you choose out, it's because you gave up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let yourself be stretched. Come on. If you want muscles, you gotta have some resistance. You got to work. If you want good lungs, you've got to take a run. You've got to do some things that up front aren't fun. If you want to have a child, there's going to be some pain involved. Come on, are the ladies here today? You know what I'm talking about. There's some challenge, some difficulty. Let yourself be stretched, but don't break, because that's how you grow. That's how you become better. That's how you become stronger. And finally, when you're down, expect that something good is coming. Come on, somebody. Will you just say it out loud? Something good is coming my way. Just say it. Something good is coming my way. There have been plenty of times in my life where I've wanted to quit. Do I have a witness today? Things look bad in my job, I wanted to quit. Things look bad in my family, I wanted to quit. Things look bad in my health, I wanted to quit. Things look bad, and let me tell you, the older you get, the easier it is to say, you know what, I'm on the backside of 30, so to speak, and I can just, you know, let's just smooth sailing out of here, and let me just quit and give up and just ride this out the rest of the way. That's not God's plan for me, and that's not God's plan for you. I'm 56, and I got some more to go. You may be 66 or 86 or 96, but God's got more to go. If you're still here, God's not done with you. Come on. So get ready for something good to come your way. If you're sick, healing is a testimony. If you're going through a challenge and you get through it and you come out on the other side, that's a testimony. That's a glorification of your God and what he's doing in your life. If you're down today, I want to encourage you, don't think of it as God being mad at you. Don't think of it like God has ignored you. Don't think of it like God is punishing you because of something you did wrong. Some of you today, that's what you think. God is punishing you because you did something wrong. God's not punishing you. God's not even mad at you. God's just letting things happen in your life, and he's at work in the midst of them, because what goes down comes up in the spirit realm. Amen. Those that are humbled become exalted by God. Those that have been drawn back and are under the tension for a little while get released into something bigger and better. I don't know if it's your health or your career or your family or just your mindset. Whatever it is for you today, tell yourself, something good is coming my way.